Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
And while biologics have really transformed how we practice medicine and manage these conditions, they've also made decision-making more complex. Because now the question isn't, does this patient need treatment with a biologic? It's which one?
Today, Drs. Newhall and Gupta joined the podcast to discuss beyond asthma and eczema, navigating biologics for multimorbid allergic patients in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Dr. Kelly Newhall, an allergist and immunologist from Chicago Family Asthma and Allergy.
And I'm Dr. Ruchi Gupta, professor of pediatrics and medicine at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine in Chicago.
I'm so glad you could be with me today, Ruchi.
My pleasure, Kelly.
Ruchi, increasingly in clinic, we're not seeing patients with just one allergic disease. We're seeing a patient who has asthma and nasal polyps, you know, atopic dermatitis, and often eosinophilic GI disease. And while biologics have really transformed how we practice medicine and manage these conditions, they've also made decision-making more complex. Because now the question isn't, does this patient need treatment with a biologic? It's which one, and which one makes the most sense for this patient, given that all of these conditions are tied together because they share underlying type 2 inflammation, but maybe driven slightly, you know, by different parts of that Th2 pathways. So let's talk a bit about our biologic choices and these multiple allergic patients.
It's so interesting now because we've both been in this field for over 20 years. We won't age ourselves, but how exciting to see how many choices we have now and how many treatments are coming out. And now it's just, how do we use them best for our patients?
So one of our first choices is dupilumab, which, you know, it blocks both IL-4 and IL-13 and gives you a little bit broader Th2 suppression. And then you have the IL-5 pathway, blocking IL-5 in several different ways. And that really can be very, very helpful for eosinophilic-driven diseases.
Yeah, and then you have the anti-IgE, like omalizumab, which really helps for that allergic phenotype because it kind of decreases all that IgE binding that happens.
And then we also have TSLP, which binds much further up, and it helps actually prevent that shift towards a Th2 pathway or paradigm. So, and patients often have multiple overlapping pathways.
Yes, so it gets really confusing.
It gets very complicated very quickly.
So I know in clinical practice, you have these patients. I mean, we have patients who have, you know, the atopic derm, but then they also have food allergies, and then many of them even have EoE, but simultaneously asthma. And these patients, I think the biggest question is, what is bothering you the most? You know, which one of these, you know, causes the most decreased quality of life every day for you? And it can change over time.
Absolutely.
But starting with that question is really important.
And one of the important things is that to look at the biomarkers of the patient, to look at, you know, what type of patient is this? I mean, these are complicated diseases. So getting like a CBC with DIF and looking at their level of eosinophils. In some practices, you're able to do, you know, FeNO or fractional exhaled nitric oxide to look at, you know, is that more of an allergic asthma type patient? Getting a total allergic antibody level can be helpful. It's also helpful to do these before you start other medical treatments because, unfortunately, a lot of what we're able to get approved for patients is based on these biomarkers. Yeah. And so, for example, a lot of the IL-5 biologics, you have to have a certain level of eosinophils to get them approved. But it's important to look at also the age of the patient because, you know, for example, if you look at dupilumab, there's big differences on at what age patients are able to have access to that medication.
So exciting that it's approved down to 6 months now
for moderate to severe atopic dermatitis and 1 year for eosinophilic esophagitis, but it's not approved until age 6 for pediatric asthma. So that's going to make a big difference. If you have a patient with asthma, picking a biologic can be more complicated based on what's going to get approved.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how you make a decision around asthma.
So with asthma is incredibly complicated disease, and it's not always allergic. So that's why we do look at the eosinophils and look at the total IgE level. And if able, look at their FeNO level to say, what type of asthma do you have and what would you benefit from most? Yes. If they're very eosinophil driven and don't have any of these other problems, using an anti-IL-5 medication can be incredibly effective and easy to use and very well tolerated. Also looking at they have, like if they are older, for example, like teenagers or young adults or adults, using if they have nasal polyps, that's going to gear you towards the two medications which are indicated for asthma and nasal polyposis. Yeah.
And then you have the patients who have that atopic derm early, but that's not as big of a deal for them anymore. And now their big issues are their food allergy or their allergic rhinitis. And it's really interesting because, you know, even personally, you've treated my daughter because she had food allergies, which were the biggest issue for her for years until she started really having bad allergic rhinitis. And so she'll go through a season where that's all that she can think about is how do I control my allergic rhinitis and I can't go outside. And it has such an impact on quality of life. And omalizumab is something then that works for that patient.
And so it doesn't have an indication for allergic rhinitis, but the wonderful thing about having these comorbid diseases share a same pathway is that when we treat and help prevent anaphylaxis using omalizumab, we find that their allergic asthma and their allergic rhinitis get better as well.
Yes.
And so that can be a huge benefit and lower kind of their need for other medications to help control their symptoms. We're able to use one or two medications as opposed to using a handful to manage their problems.
Absolutely. So. And same with dupilumab. You know, we did see when we use it for EoE and atopic derm, their food allergies do somewhat improve, even though it's not indicated for that or studies don't show it.
Correct.
I also have a patient who is on dupilumab for EoE and now is having increased food allergic reactions. And so you can go on too. Dupilumab plus omalizumab.
Absolutely.
As needed.
Absolutely. So I think it's, you know, we look at, we always want to treat, if possible, the condition that's causing the most problems for the patient.
Yes.
Realizing that we're choosing that medication in the context of what the indications are for this medication, what the patient's other comorbid problems are, and also what can we get approved.
Yes.
So.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is a whole different topic.
Yes, another conversation. But yes, and what disease has the greatest impact on their quality of life? And it may change season by season.
Yes, and it changes with age and time and growth. And so just knowing that we have these options, we have so many different tools in our toolkit now that we never had when we were in med school.
Yes.
So.
Now, we can offer our patients so many things and really paying attention to what's impacting them and then watching them through the treatment. I mean, many of them do tolerate it well and many don't. And so switching that up as needed, so seeing them back on a very regular basis.
That's absolutely key. I mean, we have to remember these are chronic diseases, and as much as they only want to see us once a year, they probably should see us more. And I like to give at least 4 to 6 months on a biologic medication before I really decide, is this working or is this not? And we look at a whole, it depends on the problem. Like, you know, for asthma, are they having exacerbations or needing to go to the emergency room, you know, for oral steroids? Have they had better symptom control? Are they sleeping better? Are they exercising with more comfort? Like if they have EoE, have they had any food impactions or trouble swallowing? Are they having symptoms of reflux? And if they're not getting, after 6 months, if they're not having relief in their symptoms, if the patient isn't feeling better, it's time to think about, hey, what you know, do we need to do something else or think about this problem in a different way? So there's so much redundancy in the Th2 pathways. And that's, you know, that's why it explains it, why we do see very variable responses to these medications.
Yes. So. And I also feel like, you know, we touched on a lot of these biologics, but these biologics are also can be used in combination with other treatments that may increase the disease-modifying effect early. And those are things like oral immunotherapy or sublingual immunotherapy or allergy shots. And the medications, at least omalizumab and I believe dupilumab, if it helps with the atopic derm, they allow children, especially young children, to move up faster on their oral immunotherapy or sublingual immunotherapy. And we have seen that if you can start this earlier in life, that you can potentially reverse the disease and develop natural tolerance to those foods.
And the immune system's more flexible when you're younger.
Exactly. So. More malleable. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Ruchi. I guess we can say in practice, it really comes down to stepping back and treating the whole patient. Don't, select a biologic just for a single disease, but look at the whole patient and what is really impacting their quality of life.
I totally agree. We should use that underlying biology to guide that choice while staying flexible, because in many cases, choosing and adjusting a biologic is an ongoing dynamic process. So thank you, Kelly.
And thank you for watching. We hope this discussion will help you as you approach multi-morbid allergic patients in your practice.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for the episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review in your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Newhall and Gupta. Join me next time for the episode where we'll cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.